I have a fairly unique background. I'm an attorney and an investigator. I've done a lot of murder cases. I'm a death qualified, learned counsel, qualified capital defense attorney. So I've worked on a lot of murder cases. I've also done murder cases as an investigator, not a police investigator, but as a defense investigator. So I've got that skill set. I'm retired military. I just bring to the table a unique skill set, which has made me pretty effective in doing things like finding people.
I'm NBC7 reporter Allison Ash. Here with me, NBC7 assignment editor Lindsay Hood. We've both been following the disappearance of Maya Miliete closely since the beginning.
More than 9 months after her disappearance, the Chula Vista Police Department arrested Maya's husband, Larry, and charged him with her murder. Her body has not been found, and Larry has denied any involvement.
At the beginning of this podcast, you heard from Billy Little. He's a private investigator hired by Maya's family to look into her disappearance. He started his investigation just days after she disappeared into thin air in January 2021. He's going to share with us what he saw in the Miliete house a few days after Maya was last seen and what Larry told him at the time.
But first, we want to tell you about Maya. Who was she and how did she and Larry meet?
May Tablanza Miliete, or Maya to her friends and family. 5'2" tall, just over 100 pounds, brown hair and brown eyes, and a smattering of freckles. And while small in stature, her family and friends say her personality was larger than life.
You know, she's just an amazing person. She has a good smile. You know, she's always smiling and a very friendly, but loving person.
Maya married her high school sweetheart, Larry, after the two met on the island of Oahu. The couple has three children, who were ages 4, 9, and just days shy of 11 at the time of Maya's disappearance.
She loves her kids, very caring mother to her three kids. She's been a good sister to us. You know, we have a big family. There's 6 siblings, and she's the 5th.
An active parent, Maya spent lots of hours volunteering at her children's school.
Their school activities, if they have Hawaiian shirt or Hawaiian day, you know, she'll have, you know, have them dress up Hawaiian, and they will have their, you know, hula and then their leis.
Riding dirt bikes in the desert, karaoke parties, family get-togethers. Her family says Maya brought any party to life.
My sister, she's a very beautiful woman in and out. What you see is what you get with her. She's a good leader. She's a hardworking woman.
Both Maya and Larry worked for the U.S. Navy as contract specialists. Larry for Naval Medical Center San Diego, and Maya for Naval Information Warfare Systems Command. Maya's job? To purchase everything from warheads for submarines to satellites orbiting the Earth. Her job seemed to match her personality.
She's easygo-lucky. She's very adventurous. She's very outgoing.
She loved doing just everything, outdoor stuff with the kids, always with the kids. She would never leave the house without the kids, pretty much. Being silly with each other, and that's totally May right there. You know, she would laugh and giggle and just laugh at each other's jokes and, you know, be serious at times, but at 90% of the time it was just like playing pranks on each other and being silly.
Vanished in the dark of night,
focusing on finding
Chula Vista mom Maya Miliete is still missing.
Her husband now charged with her murder.
We didn't see this coming.
Gone without a trace from her tan stucco home tucked in a peaceful suburb south of San
Last
Diego.
Last seen on January 7th by family members at
Police
her home
believe
in East
Maya's
Chula
life
Vista.
Ended in the home the couple shared with their 3 children.
Her home, just a short drive away from the U.S.-Mexico border.
The search for a missing Chula Vista mother is now extending across county lines.
The dunes of the desert she loved.
They're searched for Glamis sand dunes.
And the Pacific Ocean. The devoted mother of three could be anywhere.
Mary Chris says a couple had been having marital problems.
There are lots of theories, but few answers.
He would never hurt her.
Primary goal is to bring Millette home to her family or bring justice to her family regarding her disappearance.
In July 2021, 7 months after her disappearance, the Chula Vista Police Department, the lead agency investigating her disappearance, named Maya's husband Larry as a person of interest. And on October 19th, they, along with several other law enforcement agencies, swarmed his home and led him away in handcuffs to face a murder charge.
This arrest took some time. For the first 6+ months, police only called Larry Milliette a witness. Larry did talk to police early in the investigation, but then investigators say he stopped cooperating with them. Larry had retained a lawyer. Something most of us probably would have done in the same situation. Now, Larry told NBC7 his attorney advised him to stop talking.
Larry has declined all media interviews, but has told NBC7 off camera multiple times that he had nothing to do with his wife's disappearance. And just a few days after Maya was last seen, Larry allowed Billy Little into his home, the private investigator you heard from earlier. This was on January 11th.
Billy was the first person to investigate Maya's disappearance. According to the Chula Vista Police Department's arrest warrant, officers didn't search the home until January 23rd. Billy's resume is pretty impressive. He was a criminal defense investigator for the United States Navy. Before that, he was deputy chief defense counsel at Guantanamo Bay Detention Camp in Cuba, where he was responsible for overseeing death penalty cases. During the course of his career, Billy has handled 17 capital murder cases. I sat down with him before Larry's arrest to get his thoughts about the case.
Well, I was the lead investigator on the Eddie Gallagher case, if any of you remember that case. And when people couldn't be found, witnesses couldn't be found because they were out hiding in Iraq or somewhere else, I found them. So I've got that background, the education, the experience, plus I've got what I call a duct tape mentality, which means that whatever it takes, I'm going to get it done. If I got to put some duct tape on it to make it work, then that's what I do. Not afraid to knock on doors, been knocking on doors for a long time. Have the ability to build relationships with people, to get them to talk. So with that as my background, I was asked, I was informed that Maya was missing and asked if I could help look in to see what was going on. And I did it. Initially, I did it as a favor. And then I stayed on to assist the family because they needed somebody to help them. Great family. So what I did, I'm sorry, you had okay. a question?
No, I was just going to, so you say you did it as a favor to the family of a
yeah.
friend? You have a connection. It's kind of
yes.
a weird connection, but you have a connection to the family.
Yeah, it's not a direct connection, but it's more of a friend who knows the family that says, hey, if you want to find her, here's the guy that can do it. So.
But you haven't been able to do it.
Well, it started out as trying to locate her but sometimes locating her means just finding out what happened. I'm not certain that we will ever find a body.
So what did you do at the very beginning? You're contacted by, you make contact with the family through this friend.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And Chula Vista police aren't involved in it yet because she's an adult and she's, missing. Adults can go away for a short period of time before people start panicking. But the family has a sense, I believe, that there's something seriously wrong here. So what did you do?
A little more about Billy. He served as an administrative law judge in Arizona and retired from the military in 2011 as a colonel for the United States Air Force after serving 24 years. Billy received 26 awards and decorations for his service, including 2 meritorious civilian service medals for his contributions to the Navy Defense Bar. Billy is certainly well-versed in criminal law.
Yes, and that's a pretty important fact. In his career as an attorney for the Navy, he's defended successfully defended accused murderers. So now he's wearing a different hat, playing the role of investigator for the other side. But Billy knows how the mind of a prosecutor works. He knows what evidence they're looking for if they want to convict someone. And that's what he begins doing.
So I started interviewing family members, and I started looking at the neighborhood. Then I went and I knocked on the door where Maya lived, talked to Larry, looked inside the house, saw some things that didn't quite add up. Things were looking not good, and based on my experience, this was not going to end well, but I didn't want to jump to a conclusion. I didn't want to get so focused on, oh, this is not going to end well, that I didn't open my mind to other possibilities. I also didn't want to say anything discouraging to the family because, as you said, she hadn't been missing for that long, right? And it's possible that she could have left. Somebody could have taken her. Maybe she committed suicide. Maybe she's just gone and doesn't want to be found. There's any number of possibilities other than the fact that she was murdered. So I didn't want to start by talking about that or focusing on that, especially with the family, because they were clearly in distress.
What I find amazing is that you knocked on the door. You don't know Larry, right? And he let you come in the house?
Yeah, he did.
I want to point out that Billy co-published the Handbook for the Arizona Criminal Law Practitioner while serving on the Maricopa Bar Criminal Law Committee. This book is used as a reference guide for both prosecutors and defense attorneys on how to try their cases. As somebody who literally published a book on criminal cases, Billy explained to me that it's not unusual for people being investigated to let investigators in the door.
It's very common. You would be surprised. I've been doing this a long time, and it's generally how you present yourself at the door. You show up in a relaxed, calm, like, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to ask you a couple questions. Here's who I am, and do you have a few minutes to talk? And over 90% of the people will open the door, especially when you're face-to-face. I've had a lot of success with that, even in some very difficult cases. I had a case where my client was accused of raping somebody's wife, and I went to the door of the husband and had to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm the attorney that represents the person who's accused of raping your wife. Do you have a few minutes to talk? And even in that case, I was able to have a conversation. I have conversations with people who don't want to be found, who are trying to hide. So it's not that uncommon for somebody to let me into the house, although I'm always prepared for them to say, no, get out of here. So I can go either way.
But what's interesting is I think most people would think that if someone has something to hide, they did something wrong, criminal, that they wouldn't let anybody in the front door. And you're telling me that, no, sometimes they do.
Yeah, they usually do. In fact, in this case, remember, Larry started talking to the police until he lawyered up. Most people believe that they can explain their way out of a situation, that they can blame somebody else, they can minimize. This is how the police get confessions out of people, even people who didn't commit a crime, just by using some psychological tactics and pressure on people and get them to say and do things that other people would go, wait a minute, if I didn't do anything wrong, I would never confess to something. But these counterintuitive behaviors happen all of the time.
Billy's visit to the house was just a few days after Maya was last seen. I did speak to Larry via text after we interviewed Billy, and he says that Billy misrepresented himself to get into the house. Larry says that Billy told him that he was a homicide investigator for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, or NCIS. Larry also states this in his response to a gun violence restraining order issued against him by the San Diego City Attorney's Office. Now, when I asked Billy about Larry's claim, Billy says that was a lie.
Remember, both Larry and Maya worked for the Navy, and Maya in particular work for NAVWAR, which means she probably has a high-level security clearance. It wouldn't be unreasonable for NCIS to show up looking for her when she didn't show up to work. In fact, they are assisting in the investigation, along with several other agencies.
Maya's family says the couple was having marital issues. In fact, in their arrest warrant filed by the Chula Vista Police Department, investigators wrote that several friends and family described Larry as, quote, controlling and exhibiting stalker-like behavior, end quote. Investigators went on to say that a friend of Maya's told them that Larry had once choked Maya to the point that she had passed out. Maya's sister, Mary Chris, told us that's why they asked Billy to look into her disappearance.
We should point out that investigators say that on January 8th, Maya's children told her brother, who came to check on her after she stopped responding to text messages, that they believed Maya had been in her bedroom for the past 11 hours. According to the warrant, the two oldest children had last physically seen their mother on January 7th. It goes on to say the children heard noises in the kitchen on the 8th. They assumed it was Maya, although they never saw her. Now, by the time Maya's brother arrived, it was 6:30 at night, and investigators say the children told their uncle they hadn't been fed. Her brother then went up to her room and knocked on the door, but did not get a response. He then left the house. When Billy went inside the house on the 11th, he told me there were a lot of things that set off alarms for him.
Okay, so take us into the house. What, you know, you knock on the door, he answers questions, he lets you in. Mm-hmm. What all did you see and what did you find out?
Mostly concerned with the bedroom where Maya had been hiding and where she would lock herself in to provide her some space and protection from Larry. So we went to the bedroom that was upstairs. I looked around to see if I could see anything. I was looking, before I went over, I was expecting a gunshot, bloody scene, evidence of cleanup, evidence that people don't think of to get rid of, things that I've seen that they wouldn't necessarily know or see, smells in the house. And so that's what I'm looking for while I'm talking to him. So I'm talking to him and looking around. I get upstairs, I go in the bedroom, I immediately notice the hole in the door by the door handle. I touched what appeared to be putty on the outside. It felt to me to be cold and wet, but it could just be that the house was so cold that it appeared to be cold and wet. I don't know. I didn't test it at the time.
Remember, the police didn't go into the house until 12 days after Billy. So we don't have any way of corroborating his claims about the hole in the door or the wet putty. Investigators do not mention it in their warrant either. Billy says that he was told that Larry had been airing out the house in the days after Maya's disappearance. Investigators don't corroborate this in any of the documents that we've been able to review.
So when you walk in, most houses have a smell of the people that live in there, either the animal or the children. This house with three children had absolutely no smell. It had been aired out and cleaned up. This was probably 3 days after she disappeared. And that was different from what I was told by people who had been there the day before, who had been in the garage area and had a strong smell of bleach and seen bath mats hanging and drying out. When I went in the house, I saw some things that I expected to see and didn't see some things that I was expecting to see, like evidence of blood and a big bloody mess. His 4-year-old son was present with us when we had the conversation.
Okay, so you also, in interviewing him, what was his demeanor? I mean, I assume you said, hey, I'm here because we're wondering what happened to your wife.
So it's difficult to tell without knowing him before, how to tell if that was different than he normally is. But I could tell that his adrenaline was high. Again, I don't know if that's how he normally is or not. He was appeared to be explaining things, giving excuses. Not some of his stuff didn't make sense, like saying that Maya had punched the hole in the door. I asked him where she might be, and he's telling me, you know, she could be up in the vineyard area. She liked wine. But the other interesting thing about his demeanor was he didn't seem overly concerned. Like, his wife is gone. And he tried to make himself appear to be calm, although it was clear that he had not slept very much and was running on adrenaline at that point.
So you leave there, and what are your thoughts as you leave? Are you saying, wow, you know, I think I know what happened? Or are you saying, I've got more work to do?
No, I leave there, I'm thinking, boy, I've got a lot of work to do here. So go outside and talk to Maya's family. Her father was there across the street waiting for his daughter, obviously distraught. Talk to Mary Chris, again, obviously distraught. And I go walk the neighborhood. There's a hiking trail out there. I go looking for signs that somebody may have been dumped or buried or covered up. I'm trying to smell if there's a smell of dead body. I'm talking to the hikers on the trails. I'm talking to neighbors, seeing if I can get some surveillance video. I'm trying to assess in my mind, well, gosh, it couldn't have been a gun because it was just too clean. And surely that nobody can clean that well, right? So I'm thinking, gosh, what happened to her? So I got to keep working. And I did. Kept interviewing people. Kept looking for Maya, which is what I was asked to do.
You mentioned videotapes. And I know you were able to get some videos from some of the neighbors' surveillance security cameras. What kinds of things did you learn once you saw those videos?
Well, it took a while to piece everything together. It took a while for some of the neighbors to be comfortable sharing the videos with me. But what I found was probably the thing that people have heard most on TV and the internet is that there were gunshots.
Could these suspected gunshots be a possible clue in the disappearance of Maya Miliete? The loud bangs were caught on a home security camera around 10 p.m. the night she vanished from her Chula Vista home. Listen for yourself. You can also hear dogs barking, and the bangs are not all back-to-back. There are a couple of long pauses.
So I had those analyzed by a forensic analyzer. So they analyzed it and determined, yeah, they were gunshots, and yeah, they did come from inside a structure, not outside.
At the press conference announcing Larry's arrest, law enforcement said they were not able to determine if the bangs were gunshots. They also did not say how they believe Maya was killed, but they did say one of Larry's guns, a .40 caliber, is missing.
Only the audio from that home security camera has been made public, not the actual video. But Billy has seen the video, and he says there were cars coming and going at all hours of the night.
I also see cars coming and going. Now I got to figure out, okay, whose cars are coming and going, and come to find out that it's Larry's uncle, Ricky, and Aunt Kathy, who are coming and going at 3 o'clock in the morning. I see their children playing in the backyard. I believe it was about a half an hour after the gunshots. And this was a cold night on a school night on a Thursday night, and the children are outside alone playing in the backyard. So I'm seeing a bunch of things now that are starting to really get the hair on the back of my neck to stand up. And pretty soon it's clear that there's no video of her leaving the house, other than the fact that there's video of Larry leaving the house, or video of Uncle Ricky and Aunt Kathy leaving the house.
We needed to ask Ricky and Kathy about this claim to get their side of the story. So a producer and I went to their house and knocked on the door.
Yeah, and this is really interesting. Ricky was home and he had a lot to say to you guys.
He did. He didn't want us to record the conversation, but we stood on his doorstep for about 15 minutes or so chatting about the case. He adamantly denies that he and Kathy were coming and going from the house that night.
We know police served a search warrant at Ricky's house a few months after Maya disappeared. We don't know everything they were looking for because the warrant, like the others in the case, is sealed. We do know they took some guns, as they did from Larry and Maya's house as well. But there's also a freezer that's been getting a whole lot of attention.
Ricky told me directly that he took the freezer from Larry and Maya's house on the weekend after Maya disappeared.
Billy says he's the one who told police about it.
There's a missing freezer from the garage. So I go, okay, well, I better go find that freezer, huh? Figure out what's going on with that. And so I go and I find the freezer. The freezer is at Uncle Ricky's. And he says, oh yeah, I was over there that Saturday morning, coincidentally right after Maya left, and I took the freezer from there. And I said, okay, can I see inside the freezer? And at that point, he had already filled the little freezer. It's a little, not a big freezer. It's a top-loading, smaller capacity freezer, but definitely big enough for a body. And I went and I looked at, I found the freezer. I called the police. I said, hey, the freezer that was missing from the garage is over here at Uncle Ricky's. So,
and how did police receive that information?
What information?
The information that you gave them about the freezer and about the comings and goings, or did they already know?
No, they didn't know. This was information that I provided them. Some of the information, they did go and canvass the neighborhood just like I did, and so they gathered some information on their own. At first I shared all of this stuff with men.
Lindsay, Ricky told you that he handed that over to police.
Yes, Ricky told us that he had already planned to pick up the freezer before Maya disappeared because his was broken. He also told us that he had nothing to hide and that he welcomed police into his house to search for themselves. Is this missing freezer a big clue? I spoke to defense attorney Dan Gillian, who is not connected to the case but has been following it. Gillian has been recognized as one of the top 100 trial lawyers by the National Trial Lawyers Association. A military veteran himself, Gillian served with the U.S. Navy before attending law school. He's been involved in several high-profile cases.
I'm a civil litigation attorney, which is also known as a trial attorney. I've been in practice here in San Diego for about 23 years. I've been working basically for myself and taking cases that are interesting to me, and you know, and those have included, like, over the years, defending Padres baseball player and all-star Brian Giles. I've sued a bunch of high-profile people and entities on behalf of the less advantaged and the more vulnerable, such as actually three Bob Filner cases on behalf of three women. I went after the San Diego Police Department for the Cheetah's strippers. I've gone after the San Diego Police Department for many, many women who have been abused by bad cops, like Anthony Revelos, Chris Hayes, Don Moncrief, the Sheriff's Department, Richard Fisher. But I've actually represented more good cops than I have sued bad cops. And I guess it makes me feel better again about myself. I don't know, but I just enjoy it. It's what fires me up. So that's what I do.
Dan brings up a few interesting points about the Miliete case.
To me, the freezer might have just been one of those things that was tossed out there because it kind of, we've seen movies, you know, where freezers are used. But I don't know if that was really that big of a deal, frankly. I think it got more of attention at the police from the standpoint that he's saying, listen, I told them, they still didn't do anything about it, so I went and got it. Well, okay, but what was it, you know, did you find anything in it? you know, the lab technicians, these crime scene technicians, if there's something in there, there's a body been in there, they're going to find it. They're going to find some evidence that it was in there, especially if it was bleeding. On the other hand, if it had been bleeding and cleaned out, they're going to find that too. So I just don't know that freezer in the long run is going to be much of evidence.
Now, remember, we talked to Billy before Larry was arrested and charged with Maya's murder. At the time, he said he thought there was enough circumstantial evidence to charge Larry. So I asked him why that hadn't happened yet. Here's what he had to say.
First of all, he's very lucky. He's lucky, and I do not want to criticize the police. They are working hard. They've invited other people in to help them with the case. It's not an easy case, but you know, maybe, you know, if they had pressed harder up front, although there was somebody standing in the way of them pressing harder, and that was Larry. So Larry says in one of his early interviews when he was talking that he's been watching a lot of those TV shows about the first 48 hours. He knows that that's the most important time in a case. And guess what? He's right. And if you can delay people long enough, you can allow evidence to be destroyed. And so that's what he did. When the family came over and said, hey, where's Maya? Oh, no, she's sleeping in the bedroom. It's locked. Don't disturb her. Well, let's report it to the police. Oh, no. Don't need to report it to the police. She'll show up. He's stalling them, trying to get past that 48-hour point, which he did. And then when the police came over, hey, you know what? She hadn't been missing that long. And, you know, the husband seems to be cooperating, and he thinks he's going to outsmart the police and talk his way out of this. And so that's what he tried to do.
Is this a behavior that you see often in cases, you know, like this? You know, where people convince themselves that they, you know, they're smarter than the police, or they're smarter than the investigator.
I would say almost every case. That's when you get into a room, there's a lot of people in that room that think they're the smartest one in there. And especially when you're dealing with a narcissistic personality like Larry's, boy, he's going to outsmart everybody. He's going to outsmart the police, he's going to outsmart the family, he's going to outsmart me and you.
Billy says while he believes there was enough evidence to make an arrest sooner, he understands the need for investigators to take their time and make sure there aren't any loose ends.
Do I wish that he would have been arrested in January? Yes, I do. And do I think that there was enough evidence at that time? Probably, maybe, but by February, March, for sure. In my opinion, but I don't have to stand in court and present this case. So it's easy for me to sit out here and spout my opinion. They need to tie up these loose ends. So let them, you know, make this arrest, prosecute this case, and get on out there and continue to help protect and serve, which is what they do.
Police searched the Miliete home 3 times before Larry's arrest and seized Larry's guns through a gun violence restraining order. Again, Larry Miliete has said since the beginning he is not responsible for Maya's disappearance.
Things aren't always as they seem. We hope you'll join us for the next episode of the Maya Miliete podcast, when law enforcement and Billy Little tell us what they uncovered about voodoo and how it relates to Maya's disappearance. I'm Allison Ash.
And I'm Lindsay Hood. Thanks for listening.
If you know anything about Maya's disappearance, we ask you to please come forward. You can reach the Chula Vista Police Department at 619-691-5151.
If you would like to reach us, email us at tips@nbcsandiego.com. For more about the Maya Miliete case or to learn how to join her family search efforts, go to nbc7.com and search Maya Podcast.
Follow the Today in San Diego podcast for a new episode of Vanished, the Maya Miliete story, each Friday.